Joining us today in the studio is Matthew McGee. He is the Director of Community Outreach and Marketing for Freefall Theater. Welcome, sir.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks, Bill.
First of all, congratulations. Matthew, of course, is also an actor and is currently in the American stage production in the POC, as they say, of the producers.
That's right.
Max Bialystock in person, my. Folks.
I'm right here.
How's that going?
It's going really well. Really packed. They've been doing very well with this show, but I don't think that's shocking. I think Mel Brooks as the producers is a pretty good hit, pretty good choice for programming. But I think people really want to laugh right now, so I think they're enjoying this production and what the show's all about.
You guys are in your final weekend, is that
Absolutely.
Right? So Sunday would be the last show?
That's right.
What time on Sunday?
Sunday at 8 p.m. All shows are 8 p.m. because, of course, it's when things sort of get dark. But as we've progressed through the run, we opened at the beginning of April. Now we're into May. It gets, you know, it takes a little while longer to get dark.
Yeah.
So we still do part of the first half of the show in pretty much semi-light. So yeah. It is interesting. There's no real blackout.
So it's also, if I've done the math correctly, Freefall's about to be 10 years old.
About to be 10 years old. Next season is our 10th year. Not this current season, the one that's coming up, I think that's the, what is that, the 2018-2019. Mm-hmm. 1920 will be the 10-year anniversary.
2020.
Yes, 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 exactly. Yes. So it should be very interesting. Freefall came into being with a show called The Wild Party that everyone talked about. Now, that was just a one-off. I think when they first started, they were just doing productions in rented spaces to kind of get the word out. And then they finally opened in 2011 in the space where we currently are at 6099 Central Avenue with the Frogs. That was our first production, and that would have been the 2010-2011 season. So, yeah, kind of amazing.
Well, congratulations on another fantastic season that's just wrapping up. You have the Enforcer story, The Machine Stops,
that's
on
right.
stage right now. Again, how's that going?
You know, it's going pretty well. I think it's a bit of a, I don't know if it's a tough show for people. I don't know. I think the people who've come have really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's on everyone's list to see a dystopian play about what it's like when we're all too dependent on technology and you can't go to the Earth's surface because it's not habitable. And
oh, that's been on my bucket list for years.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. But it's actually building, audiences building through word of mouth, great review in the Tampa Bay Times. So yeah, it's an interesting experiment. I think Eric's very smart in when he puts together a season. There's a lot of variety. So we went from Daddy Long Legs, which was sort of a classic romantic musical, into The Machine Stops. So you're getting a little bit of something different. And then after that, it's the musical of musicals, The Musical, which is basically a parody of Broadway musicals, sort of like Saturday Night Live meets The Great White Way. So there's a lot of opportunity for variety. But it is a drama, a sci-fi drama, which I think is a lot for some people. But the people who are coming and the reviewers are really enjoying what it has to say.
Now, just to put it out there, The Machine Stops runs through...
It runs through May 27th.
Okay.
And that actually has more shows, you know, of course, than like what we're talking about with the park. That we run Wednesday through Sunday for The Machine Stops, and there are matinees on Wednesdays and Sunday afternoons and Saturday.
You mentioned Eric Davis, who is the artistic director. He was one of the founders? Was he there at the beginning?
Absolutely. It was Eric Davis, a gentleman named Kevin Lane, and Jim Sorensen, who now works at American Stage, who I'm actually in the producers with, which is kind of fun because they all started the company together. Eric was sort of the person who kind of dreamed up the whole idea of it, from the name of the theater to the mission, the image, to the marketing materials, to the logo, to the colors. I mean, he's really hands-on in that type of way. And luckily, they all were able to kind of come up with something. I think at a time, I think it was about 2008 when it kind of came into being, or when it was kind of dreamed up. I think at a time when theater in Tampa Bay, there was really only one large professional established theater company, American Stage. And then there were two smaller companies, Jobsite at the Straz, and of course, Stageworks in Tampa. So having another professional equity theater in St. Pete was a great thing. And I think it really did a lot for theater in the area. I mean, I would challenge anybody on that one if they wanted to kind of chat with me about that, but about the whole idea of when Eric came up with that theater. I think it really jazzed up. I don't know, jazzed up's the wrong word, but it really kind of excited local audiences. It really broke a lot of barriers. And I think a lot of theaters all around in the same area have kind of worked really hard to kind of keep up with that over the years. So I think Free Fall really was an innovator when it came into town.
Well, you're anticipating all of my questions.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like a crowded field now with professional theater around here. And I think for maybe larger cities, it wouldn't be. But tell me about the artistic statement, the mission statement, if you will, in your own words, of Free Fall and how Free Fall was going to be positioned into this market.
Oh, absolutely.
How are you different? And what are we going to do?
Right. And so much of it has changed just over the past 10 years, you know, just from their inception. One of the great things Eric had was a tagline. You'll see a lot of that now with a lot of the theaters. It's nothing new, but I think Eric really knew that some strong public relations marketing wording would be important. So he started with three words: unexpected, daring, and authentic. And I think that Free Fall continues to live up to those three words. I think they really wanted to produce shows that really transported audiences. The whole idea of Free Fall in the name was like, take a leap with us, join us on this ride. And it's sort of not just it's sort of a ride where you kind of give in and you just experience it. And I think that with the name and everything really, really worked. I knew that he wanted to present a variety of plays and musicals on the main stage. It used to be that the only musical you'd see in Tampa Bay was the big one that they did, you know, every year in the park, which is, I think it's a 33-year tradition.
Yeah.
As of the producers. So Eric was putting musicals on the main stage at his at the theater, which now you see a lot of.
Yeah.
Especially in Tampa Bay area. I think he wanted to show people traditional shows that they knew the title of, but reinvent them with his own sort of stamp, with his own sort of staging. You know, for instance, we did Man of La Mancha in a junkyard in Latin America. I mean, we did Mikado, all male, kabuki, drag, RuPaul meets Las Vegas. These are some of the things that have happened. Right.
Yeah.
We did an environmental staging of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where the audience was in the waiting room and in the hospital. So instead of traditional theater seats, they were seated at the activities table where there were board games they could play. They were seated on couches and in that sort of medical furniture, those awful chairs and those rolling. And that's how they experienced the show. They were right involved in it, a part of it.
I remember, just to interrupt, because
no,
you got me thinking about it,
yeah,
was that production of White Fang that you did last year.
Oh, yeah,
year,
absolutely.
Which came from Jethro...
Jethro Compton.
In the UK. Was very unusual.
Very, very. And, you know, here's what's funny about that show. Eric always wants to do at least one world premiere per year, and or more than that. And we try to stick to that every year. But this year, or this past year, I think it was last year, it was in the fall, we did... White Fang. The plot was very different,
yes,
from what Jack London's White Fang is. And
a
we
pretty
knew,
wild adaptation.
Very
yeah.
wild adaptation, using puppetry and all sorts of other elements,
yeah,
sort of changing the story, new characters. It really went on to become a big hit in the UK, but I believe, last time I checked, Samuel French, I think, are the people who are going to present the play, the rights house that's going to, mm-hmm, sell the rights to other theater companies.
Oh, yeah.
They have to call it Wolf's Blood now because Sam French was like, this is not White Fang.
They changed the name.
They changed the title. But inside that book, if any other theaters rent that book out and actors and wherever it goes, and I think it does have a big regional life, people can open up the book and in the front of it will say White Fang or Wolf's Blood premiered at Free Fall Theater in St. Petersburg,
wow,
Florida.
You guys really are paragons of innovation over
we
there.
Try. We really try. Absolutely.
I did have a question that's kind of a direct line from what you were just talking about. We all know, any of us who've been on the periphery of theater, as I have as a journalist for so many years, we all know that there is a fine line to walk between keeping oneself artistically and creatively satisfied and challenged. Challenged is always the word, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure the audience goes on the journey with you.
Right.
There's a fine line between that and keeping the lights on.
Absolutely.
So how does Free Fall do that? Is it just... I'll ask you this. Is it consistent quality? That's what
right.
we just... Everything we do is good, and we've built an audience that
right.
way.
That does come into play. I will tell you, It's been sort of an interesting couple of years. For a while there, Freefall was doing what we would really consider larger scale shows with, I mean, because, you know, you have to understand the space is 50 by 50, but we would do, you know, Fiddler on the Roof with actor musicians with like 15 people in the show. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot of professional actors spot, to yeah. play and to pay in a little spot. We were doing those for a long time. And when we began to crunch the numbers, because again, we're almost 10 years old, we're still quite young. When our executive director, Sheriff Ortiz, Chili and Eric began to crunch the numbers, we were seeing these massive hits like MAME, where I played Auntie MAME, mm-hmm. the musical. I mean, crazy. You couldn't get a seat to it. We were finding...
If you do say so yourself.
Yes. if you... but, you know, it's interesting. We found out at the end, when you do all the numbers, the show didn't make a lot of money, or it paid for itself, but there was no real profit. Or sometimes certain shows would actually lose money. And so now we've had to figure out how to keep the doors open by using smaller casts and maybe like putting in, like, for instance, we open next season with the Fantastics. That'll be a bit of a larger cast for what we're doing. That was a new thing for us to have to do these somewhat smaller cast shows. Like right now, the play we're doing only has four people.
The Fantastics is what, six?
Yeah, people? Six or eight, I believe. Something, I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah, and so that seems like that's big for us now. We were not really expecting that. I mean, there are almost 22 people in the producers at American Stage. That's a lot of actors to pay, and they're all professional actors. So
isn't
you
that
do
a lot
them.
Of old ladies with walkers?
That's a lot of little old ladies out there. But you know, but that's something that I think we've learned over the years about how to juggle that. I think from a marketing perspective, from me talking, and I think it would have been interesting, maybe in another time you can interview Eric, but my thoughts with marketing is it's very tough sometimes to sell some of the shows we do. Some of them, yeah. you don't need any work. It's not going to be hard to sell The Little Prince. It's not going to be hard to sell A Christmas Carol or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or MAME or any of those shows, Into the Woods. People know those titles. But then we throw in some things every now and then that people don't know. It's good for our mission, but it can be tough to get audiences in.
Well, it's interesting because one thing I wanted to ask you about was the Fantastics.
Yeah.
Here we have a show that, you know, maybe three quarters of the world knows anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems a little bit like, you know, they... dance company that I used to work with in Gainesville would do the Nutcracker
sure.
every year, and that was what they would call their cash cow.
Absolutely.
And I mean, does the Fantastics fall out?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Here's one that we know we're going to sell tickets
absolutely.
To.
And I think Eric had to really kind of work on that over the years to know kind of what people wanted. We had like a season a few years back where we did, if I can remember this correctly, we opened with Into the Woods. We spent the holidays with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. We then went into like Harvey. We did Bright Lights, Big City. We did a one-man version of The Tempest, which Eric wrote and starred in, and then we did MAME. They were kind of, and a new play by Natalie Simons, a St. Petersburg native who wrote a play called The Buffalo Kings. All of those shows were smashes. Then we did a season where we kind of shook it up a little bit, did an Our Town that was a little more contemporary, did a show called Mr. Burns, which is about what life is like after the electric grid fails. It's got a Simpsons vibe. And
yeah,
we
I've
did Importance
of, that one,
yeah. of Being Earnest with Zombies. Those were maybe a little bit too far of a jump for people. While they were very good, they didn't connect with audience as much as we'd like. So Eric's really trying to find that balance, and he works at it very hard all the time.
Well, that's the thing with regard to, you know, loss leaders or whatever they call them. Not loss leaders, but cash cows. That you could do Rodgers and Hammerstein all year and make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
It's, especially the level you guys work, but it wouldn't do it for you.
I don't think it would definitely do it for Eric. And I don't think it would do it for me either, because I think variety is what really works. You know, I've really had such a good fortune to work in this area with both of these really exceptional equity theaters. I think we're really lucky in St. Petersburg. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe. It's not hard to believe as the city grows, but you have at Freefall, you have Eric Davis, artistic director. You have Stephanie Goulart over at American Stage. They're relatively the same age, and they have such a great idea about what programming works, what audiences want to see. They have a very different perspective, but yet they really understand marketing. They understand what audiences like, so they're really offering people a nice variety of things to see. And I think that's what's really great about living in St. Petersburg in terms of these two companies that we have here.
Sure, I think certainly Freefall and American Stage, and also what you talked about, StageWorks and
absolutely.
Job Site. I know you've worked down in Oslo, down in Sarasota. I mean, there is a plethora.
A plethora, yeah.
There's a veritable plethora
absolutely.
Of incredible professional theater around here. You, like everyone else, took a hit this year.
Absolutely.
From Tallahassee. Can we talk about that? Can
sure.
we talk about the numbers, what you had been getting in funding and what you got this year?
Well, what was so interesting for us is, as we were pretty young still. A lot of these theater companies have been receiving government money for as long as they've been in existence, especially places like StageWorks, which has been around for, I think, 30 plus years, American Stage 40 plus years. It took us a little while to get the financials together and all the information together to even start to begin to receive that kind of funding from the state. Right. We've never received a great deal of money from this particular fund, actually, but we were in the process of writing those grants or, you know, making those requests, and now those requests kind of fall on deaf ears. So yeah, absolutely. Even without knowing an exact number, the rate of funding which we received in the past has been cut like you wouldn't believe. I mean, yeah. It's more than half. It's way more than half. So it's kind of it's an interesting thing because I think this is an arts area. Like people, I mean, I always laugh when I see, I don't laugh, but they have those license plates that say Florida State of the Arts. And before that, you would maybe say that was really true because they were trying to fund us as much as they possibly could. And now it's practically nothing. So it's kind of hard to, I don't want, you know, you kind of want to say maybe discontinue those because it really isn't as of right now. And I know that it's a balancing act about how to balance a budget, but the arts, I always feel like politicians forget that the arts are an economic driver. There are people who go to see shows. They do so many things just with going to the show. They pay for parking. They pay to go to a restaurant. The people that get brought into town, when you bring in these large casts, this large cast that's in the producers are all living in this area at the moment, eating at the restaurants, buying things, really adding to our local economy. So I think that gets lost in the shuffle. But yeah, absolutely. We certainly took a hit. Probably not as big as other places that have been receiving large influxes of money from the state. But yeah, right. Definitely. We have definitely seen a difference.
Can we talk pie chart for a second? Where's the money come from?
Well, here's what's interesting. We've always talked about this. Freefall's been pretty lucky in the past. One of the percentages that we always talk about is that 60% of what we do comes from ticket sales. So that means the other percentage, and that's if the show really, really works. If the show doesn't work, you do have a bit of a shortfall, and you kind of have to make that up with the next show. Just like you're talking about having the Fantastics, we'll pay for the Machine Stops or something like
here
that.
Here comes the Sound of Music.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though the Machine Stops is doing quite well and is kind of not a super expensive show because Eric adapted it, and so there is no royalty. Because I think the story is now like in public domain, and Eric has done a few of those like that. All the Gilbert and Sullivan stuff is public domain. Importance of Being Earnest was public domain. So there's a way of doing shows and saving a bit on the royalty. But yes, 60% of basically is everything we have to help keep the doors open is through ticket sales. So where does the other percentage come from? It's charitable giving and donations.
Right.
One thing that has been really kind of has buoyed me a little bit is, and what's good about what you're doing with this podcast and telling people that, of course, the state is giving us less money and that kind of creates a ripple effect is, people are really stepping up. I mean, when they had the gala at American Stage this year, they raised a ton of money because people, and they were very smart in letting the audience know at that fundraiser that we have lost, you know, some Florida state funding, and it really helped what they were taking
in.
Same has really happened for us. We found that when people find out about this, that wonderful article in the Tampa Bay Times, they want to help us out. So we have seen definitely an increase, not only in season ticket sales, but in membership and charitable donations. So I'm hoping that becomes more of a trend and that even if the state isn't willing to step up, that the people who really love theater and what we're doing will. And they have, and they are. But yeah, it's hard to believe that it's only 60% of what ticket sales bring in. And like I said, I think there have been shows where it's been less than that, depending on how well it does, you know.
Just a reminder, we're speaking with Matthew McGee, the Director of Community Outreach and Marketing over at Freefall Theater, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary this fall.
Yeah, it'll be next fall.
Next fall. Yeah. Okay, well, so we're at 9.
Yeah.
2008. Okay, well, that's what it says on your website, and let's just call it a good time.
You know, what's truly funny about it is, Bill, we all are confused as to when the 10-year anniversary is.
Oh, everyone, not just me. Then.
No, no. Oh, everybody is at the theater, and it's only because they kind of did a few shows that were one-offs, and then it didn't really get into its home until around 2011. So we're kind of using the 2019-2020 season as the 10-year, which I think makes some sense. I hope
it works for me. Let's let's direct folks to the Freefall website because the Machine Stops is still going on. What's the website?
It's freefalltheater.com.
.com. There's .orgs. There's .this. What's .co? I've never understood that.
And I should know more about that.
There's .me and, you know.
There's all sorts of dots these days. That's what the whole Machine Stops is about.
Oh, well, I've got to see it. I actually, Sylvia Roche is a friend of mine. And
she sponsored the show.
I know. And she said, hey, you guys want to go? I can get you some tickets. Yeah. So I'll see you.
No, absolutely.
It'll be after this weekend because you're in the producers.
It's the last weekend. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. Machine Stops is kind of amazing. I keep sitting back. I've seen it twice. I keep thinking to myself, how on earth did E.M. Forrester come up with this idea in 1909 that maybe one day we'd only talk to each other through screens and that the environment may be so bad we can't go to the surface? That's kind of incredible.
It reminds me of Fahrenheit. What is it? Fahrenheit 561?
451 or 1984. And a lot of people say
690, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
a lot of people say that this book is kind of the precursor to that. Logan's Run and all those things.
Yeah.
And I think Netflix's Black Mirror. I feel like you can watch Machine Stops. It's like a Black Mirror episode right on stage.
Let me close with this, Matthew. St. Petersburg, there is so much talk and invigorating, excited talk about our community becoming an artistic beacon, you know, a mecca, if you will. I mean, how do you feel about that? Does the future look bright? You got to wear shades?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that we're working on right now, and we're doing this with the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, and a lot of the theater companies are doing this, we really are looking forward to an initiative that really puts the performing arts at the forefront. I feel like St. Pete has always been known for visual art because of these wonderful museums like the Dalí and the MFA and all the local artists that are here in our arts district. We talk about that all the time. Duncan McClellan with the glass and sculpture and visual art. It's kind of incredible around here. And some of my favorites like Chad Mize, Jennifer Koshrek. But theater sometimes gets left off the list. I remember a year ago, Freefall got featured in Time Out New York as a thing to do in St. Pete. And we were jumping for joy. That doesn't happen very often. So we're working on sort of an initiative called St. Pete Performs to kind of push people into also knowing that the performing arts are really thriving right here in St. Petersburg.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, let me wrap this up by saying continued success in your final weekend with the producers.
That's right.
And all of your next endeavors. And we will see you over at Freefall for the Machine Stops, which is running for a few more weeks. I'm Bill DeYoung. This is the St. Pete Catalyst with Matthew McGee. And thank you again, sir.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.